The title of my message this morning is, What Does It Mean to Fear God? Well, we've gathered together this morning at First Baptist Church in order to worship God. That's why we're here. It's critical, though, that we worship God as He really is, not what we imagine Him to be. It's critical that when we worship God, we are worshiping the God of the Bible, not the God of our imagination. And the only way we can really know that we're worshiping God as He really is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But how do we know what is true? Truth is that which corresponds to reality. And so God has revealed Himself and the reality of who He is in the Bible. He is the author of the Bible. If we are not reading the Bible, we run the risk of worshiping a God of our own making, a God of our own imagination. And so this morning, I want us to gain insight into the fear of the Lord from Solomon. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. This is what the Bible says. Solomon is concluding his book and he writes this. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. As most of us know, Solomon was the son of King David. When David died, Solomon became king. As king, he had all of the money and the power in the world to pursue whatever he wanted to pursue. He had all the resources at his fingertips in order to go down pursuits that he thought would end up making him happy. The book of Ecclesiastes is an account of him going down every road possible in order to try to gain meaning in life. So really, the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon's testimony of trying to make sense out of life. Ecclesiastes is Solomon saying, I've done it all, I've tried it all, and this is what I have concluded. I want to read to you the same verse in the Message translation for even greater clarity. This is what chapter 12 and verse 13 says in the Message. The last and final word is this, fear God and do what He tells you. Don't you love it when somebody really smart keeps it simple? Don't you love it when this brilliant mind like Solomon says, I've been there, I've done that, I've experienced it all, and this is what I have concluded as I've tried to make sense out of life. Fear God and do what He tells you. Now, I want to make sure that we are understanding and comprehending who this man really was. You remember the story in the Bible when he was begging God for wisdom. And God answered his prayer. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29 says this. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. His conclusion, fear God, do what He says. And so the question this morning is this, what does it mean to fear God? To fear God in a biblical sense is the awe a person ought to have before God because of who He is. So to fear God is to have a sense of awe, to have a sense of respect, to have a sense of reverence in your heart for who God is. To fear God is an attitude of reverence and respect and awe because we love Him. It is not that we are afraid of Him in a certain sense, but we are consumed and we are captivated by His power and His greatness. Describing the fear of God has been a very difficult venture for theologians and pastors down through the ages. For instance, Martin Luther struggled with how to describe the fear of God. Martin Luther came up with this distinction. He distinguished between what he called servile fear and filial fear. Let's talk about servile fear first. According to Luther, servile fear was the kind of fear that a prisoner would have that might be in a torture chamber. And he is He is dreading the tormentor. He is dreading the jailer. He has this sense of dread over the executioner. And so this servile kind of fear is this dreadful anxiety in which someone is frightened by the clear and present danger that is presented in the presence of an individual. And so Luther was trying to show us that this is not the fear of God that the Bible talks about. Let me see if I can illustrate. For instance, this week in New York City, we know that there was this man who had been swinging a hammer at people in random all over Manhattan. There were people in parks that were saying, hey, you got to find this dude. He is swinging a hammer at our heads. He barely missed me. And so there was this picture put out, and all of the New York City police officers were on the lookout for this man swinging a hammer. On Wednesday morning, there were two officers that thought they spotted him. The only problem is they didn't realize that he also spotted them at the very same time. Well, the two officers approached this man, and as they approached this man, he took his hammer out and began swinging it frantically at the female officer, actually striking her three times. You know the end of the story. Her partner shot the man who was swinging the hammer, and he died right there on the spot. When they looked at the hammer, they realized that the hammer that he swung actually had blood that had been dried from previous strikes of previous individuals. But what I want you to see is that when we fear God, that's not the kind of fear we're talking about. Not the servile fear that you would have if you were a slave and you were fearing the whip of a master. Filial fear is very different, and this is the way Luther distinguished it. Filial fear is the word that we get from the Latin that means family. It refers to the fear that a child has toward his father. In other words, a tremendous respect and love for his father or mother, and a desire to do what the father and mother wants him to do because the child dearly wants to please them. And so there is a fear, there is an anxiety of offending the one he loves. It is not that he's going to get whacked by the father or mother. It is that they don't want to do anything to displease the one they love so very much. They're not afraid of torture or even punishment as much as they're afraid of displeasing the one who, in the child's world, is the source of all of their security and love. And so the fear of God is a sense of awe and respect for the majesty of God. You know, Solomon says that this attitude toward God will produce something in your life. You will then want to obey God. If you would like to know if you fear God, then just simply look at your life and ask yourself the question, am I doing what he asked me to do? If you're not doing what he asked you to do, the answer to the question is you don't fear God. That is the test. And so Solomon would say that we only can fear God if we do his will. We can only know his will if we read his word. And so if we are not in the Bible, in order to make sure that we are worshiping a God not of our imagination, but the God who really is, understanding what he wants, coming to realize who he is, coming to grips with what he hates and what he loves, then that is what God wants. God wants us to worship the God who actually is. As many of you know, one of my favorite authors is an older Christian writer, A.W. Tozer. Tozer died in 1963. He wrote this about the fear of the Lord, or the fear of God, in his book, Whatever Happened to Worship. This is what Tozer said. The fear of God is astonished reverence. I believe that the reverential fear of God mixed with love and fascination and astonishment and admiration and devotion is the most enjoyable state and the most satisfying emotion the human soul can know. What a statement that is. John Bunyan, in one of his great books, said this about the biblical meaning of the fear of the Lord. He said, "Christian, let God's distinguishing love to you be a motive to you to fear him greatly. Remember that the fear of the Lord is his treasure, a choice jewel." And so we've looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, where Solomon says, "I've done it all. I've been down every road possible. I've tried to have every experience imaginable. And I have concluded that life can be boiled down to just this: fear him, do what he says." But then he goes on to say something very interesting in the next verse. Look at verse 14. "For," and so he's tying it back to his thought in verse 13, "for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every evil thing, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So this is what Solomon is arguing. He is saying every human being will give an account to God for how he responded to God in his lifetime. And so make sure that you respect him, revere him, have a sense of awe for him, and make sure that you understand that one day you will stand before him and give an account for whether you did that in your life. Now, the interesting thing that I found this week in my studies is that, you know, we know that Solomon wrote not only the book of Ecclesiastes, but he also wrote the book of Proverbs. And as I began to look at how he described the fear of God or the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs, I began to understand more deeply what he meant in Ecclesiastes 12, 13. And so, very briefly, I want us to look at some of the special promises and principles from Proverbs for those who fear the Lord. First, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, Solomon writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The principle is, it is the starting point and becomes the essence of true knowledge. Isn't that interesting? That a person can have a PhD, a person can have the highest degree, and he can have all of the degrees in the world, but unless he reveres God, he knows actually nothing. He may have facts, there may be data in his brain, but he doesn't have the true kind of knowledge that can change your life and transform you into a better person. Second, Proverbs 2:5. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So here's the promise. If you cry out for wisdom, you will find God filling your heart with the fear of the Lord. The verses preceding verse 5, it's interesting because Solomon says, if you will cry out for understanding, if you will dig into the Word, if you will search for me in the Word, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What a promise. If you will simply cry out for wisdom, you will find God filling your heart with the fear of the Lord. Third, Proverbs 3:7. Solomon writes, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Here's the principle. Arrogance will keep you from seeking to fear God. So do you see these different shades of meaning that Solomon gives this understanding of the fear of the Lord? Fourth, Proverbs 8:13. "To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech." Here's the principle. The reason we don't hate evil is we don't fear the Lord. This could be the, I would say that this could be the root of the problem with American Christianity. We have become so worldly, we have become so calloused to what is right and wrong, we have become so unable to discern right from wrong, true from false, because we don't fear the Lord. Fifth, Proverbs 14:26. Solomon writes, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." There are two principles I see here. The first one is fearing God will keep us from fearing difficult circumstances or difficult people. The second principle is when a parent fears God, it creates confidence and security in his children. Six, Proverbs 14:27. "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." Here's the principle. The fear of the Lord causes you to make choices that will keep you from a premature death. That makes sense, doesn't it? If God gives you wisdom, and if you fear him, then you are not going to make choices that will end up causing you to shorten your life because you fear God and he's giving you wisdom. And then finally, the seventh thing that I see in the book of Proverbs is found in chapter 22 and verse 4. Solomon writes, "Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life." Here's the principle. Great blessings come to those who fear the Lord. And so I have some concluding questions of application that I would like to ask you. If you truly stood in awe of God, if you truly revered him, if you began to catch a glimpse of who he really is, how would that change your life? Here's some questions. What thought patterns would change? What words would not be spoken? What actions would cease? What attitudes would be corrected? What motives would be purified? I'll close with this. On his tombstone at Westminster Abbey, there is this epitaph that is written of Lord Lawrence, one of England's premier politicians. And this is what is said on his tombstone. "He feared man so little because he feared God so much." What a statement. He feared man so little because he feared God so much. If you were to ask me, what is the root problem in the American church? What is the root problem in the Christian lives that I know? What is the root problem in my life? It is that I and all of us need to have a greater sense of who he is and a greater sense of awe and respect and reverence for who he is, because it would change everything. It would change what we say, what we think, where we go, what we watch, what we say. It would change everything. That's what it means to fear God, to have a sense of awe and reverence and respect for who he is. It is not that we're afraid he's going to hit us over the head with a hammer. It is that as his child, we don't want to displease him, because our world revolves around him. And like a child, we don't want to do anything that would cause pain to the heart of God. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Let's stand together for the closing prayer. Dear Father, we love you so much. We want to have the right kind of thoughts toward you. We want to fear you in the biblical sense. We want to see you more and more for who you are. We want to stand in awe of you and to respect you and revere you so much, realizing that one day we are going to stand before you and give an account for how we responded to you during this lifetime. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.